Do we have a harmonium player? Your harmonium player? Yes, please. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Yedi Baradhari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamana Tira Vana Chadi Jamana Tira Vana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giribaradhari Gopi Jana Balabha Giribaradhari Giribaradhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamana Tira Vana Chadi Jamana Tira Vana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Jaya Vishnu Paramahansa Parivijagacharya Asyakarasata Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanandi. Jordan, can you give this to Prithvishwapa?
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading two verses this morning. Chanting one of them. when we're going to chant is text 66. And we're supposed to read 66 and 67. Yes? Yes? Okay. Yad, yad, yes. Yad, yad, yes. Avani siddham syad. Try it again. Yad, yes. Yavani siddham syad. Yena yatra yato nirpa satte neheta karyanti naro nanyar anapadi yadyasya vani siddhana siddham syad yena yatra yato nirpa Satene, excuse me. Satene heta karyani. Naro nanyar anapadi. Vani Siddham Syad Yena Yatra Yato Nripa Tatine Hita Karyani Naro Nanyar Anapadi. Ladies? Yad yasya vani siddham syad yena yatra yato yad yasya vani siddham syad Yena yatra yato nripa sa ne ne he karyani Yet, whatever, yasya, of a man, va, either, anisiddham, not forbidden, syat, it is so, yena, by which means, yatra, in place and time, Yataha, from which? Nripa, O king, Saha, such a person, Tena, by such a process,
Iheta should perform karyani prescribed activities. Naraha a person. Na not. Anyai by other ways. Anapadi in the absence of danger. Translation, in normal conditions, in the absence of danger, O King Yudhisthira, a man should perform his prescribed activities according to his status of life with the things, endeavors, process, and living place that are not forbidden for him and not by any other means. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This instruction is given for men of all statuses, in all statuses of life. Generally, society is divided into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmacharyas, Vanaprasthas, Sannyasis, and Grahasthas. Everyone must act according to his position and try to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that will make one's life successful. This was instructed in Naimisharanya. Atakpumbir Dvija Shrestha Parnashrama Vibhagashaha Svanustatasya Dharmasya Sang Siddhir Haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and order of life, is to please the Lord Hari. Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Everyone should act according to his occupational duties, just to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then everyone will be happy. Is everyone happy? Okay, so the second verse, text 67. Etair anyaischa vedoktair vartamana sva karma bihi grihe pyasya gatim yayad rajangs tad bhakti bhan naraha tad bhakti bhak. One who renders devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead. Any person, nara. Translation, O King, one should perform his occupational duties according to these instructions as well as other instructions given in Vedic literature, just to remain a devotee of Lord Krishna. Thus, even while at home, one will be able to reach the destination. Purport. The ultimate goal of life is Vishnu, Krishna. Therefore, either by Vedic regular principles or by materialistic activities, if one tries to reach the destination of Krishna, that is the perfection of life. Krishna should be the target. Everyone should try to reach Krishna from any position of life. Krishna accepts service from anyone. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:32, Mam hi parta yapashritya yepi syu papa yonayaha striyo vaishas tata shudras tepi yanti param gatim. Translation, O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, as well as Shudras, can approach the supreme destination. It does not matter what one's position is, semicolon, if one aims at reaching Krishna by performing his occupational duty under the direction of the spiritual master, his life is successful. It is not that only Sannyasis, Vanaprasthas, and Brahmacharis can reach Krishna. A Grihastha, a householder, can also reach Krishna, provided he becomes a pure devotee without material desires. An example of this is cited in the next verse. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse, this ends a section. So there's some persons that were not here for the earlier section, earlier part of this section. And it was a tough subject for a Monday morning, very philosophical. Making a distinction between, well, the emphasis went to the Bhagavat conception of non-dualism in relation to conception of self, in relation to activities, in relation to paraphernalia that's generated from those activities in this world. So the Bhagavad conception, very briefly, is to see these things, although temporary, as suitable for being engaged in service to the source of those temporary things in devotion. And when one does, then that is a conception of self and conception of activity and conception of paraphernalia that fits the Bhagavat conception of non-dualism. Just emphasize it again, even though those things are temporary. And as this purport is indicating, this is instruction for everyone. This is the last chapter in the whole seventh canto. It's the last part of this elaborate description or discussion by Narada to Yudhisthira about the duties, varna and ashram, for various orders of life. Now there's a similar discussion, it's less elaborate, in the Bhagavatam at least, where in the ninth chapter, Yudhisthira is asking Bhishmadev to give instructions, because it's the duty of a king to receive teaching from a brahmana how to see to all orders of society have proper engagements. Not only the brahmanas need to know, the kshatriyas need to know. The brahmanas need to know and advise, and the kshatriyas need to know and implement or oversee the proper performance of varna and ashram duties. Both are very important positions. They support one another. Brahmacharya is the phrase used in the third canto, Bhagavatam. When Swayambhuva Manu, who is the giver of laws for mankind, that's what Manus do, when Swayambhuva Manu came into the forest to meet Kardama Muni, there's this fantastic exchange between them, and Prabhupada comments, this is Brahmacharya, where the Brahmana is not thinking himself superior to the Kshatriya, and the Kshatriya is not thinking himself superior or aloof from the Brahmana, but there's proper regard or proper respect for their respective positions. And very nice, very nice. Then things can go on very nicely. So a qualified king or someone in the royal order, they consult. And so the brahmanas have a function, very important function. Here it's Narada Muni, he's direct son of Lord Brahma. So his order of life is a brahmana, or his status of life is a brahmana, and his order is he's a renunciate. So double position for Yudhisthira to look up to him, and he does. Not that Yudhisthira doesn't know these things. He knows these things, but he likes hearing and inquiring and solidifying that connection with the renounced order and the brahminical order, although he knows these things. So he's asking, Narada's explaining. In this case, as a king, you, my dear Yudhisthira, you need to know how to guide society, or how to engage society, more specifically, in that which will carry them to life's goal. One who takes the position of administrator, the head of state, etc., then one must know that and have a willingness to act on that platform. Not everyone's going to comply, but at least give guidance. I remember hearing a nice discussion, a room conversation between Srila Prabhupada and I think it was the ambassador from India in Sweden, something like that. So there was a room conversation and Prabhupada was encouraging and then more strongly like insisting and that the government should see that people in religious organizations are performing their duties properly. And the gentleman was very polite and obviously very educated and skilled in diplomacy, and he was a diplomat. He was being very diplomatic, saying, "Oh, Swamiji, secular society, we can't do that." And Prabhupada was countering, saying, "Secularism means you promote one in favor of and against another, so don't do that. But whatever one's position is, it's the government. If the government doesn't do it, who's going to do it? See that each group, whatever their principles are, they follow their principles. They abide by their principles. If the government isn't going to do it, who's going to do it? If the government doesn't do it, things go to chaos. So then the government is responsible for neglect because there's chaos. So perform your duty." "Oh, Swamiji, we can't do that." "You're nice, Swamiji. Please calm down." "We can't do that." So kings have, administrators have, heads of state or heads of whatever the sangha is, assembly is, then it's important to know and to ensure. So this is explaining principles, not details. And the details that are mentioned, well, the indication is that whatever is found within scripture, that which is not forbidden for him, somewhere. Can't find it. There's some reference that's saying, and whatever the scriptures say, these specific topic, the previous topic was conception of self, conception of activity, and conception of paraphernalia generated from activity, seen in an Advaya sense, not separate from the source of those things, self, activity, and paraphernalia. Devotional service to the personality of Godhead. So now, this is further detail, not super detail, but according to one's position. So there's variegatedness according to guna and karma. And so according to guna and karma, there's differences. Differences of ashram and differences of varna. And according to those differences, one should perform prescribed duties according to his status of life. According to his status of life is indicated, again, according to guna and karma, this word yena, Vishwanath says, this word yena is by which means, so what's appropriate for us is according to guna and karma, and then indication of scripture is according to guna and karma, and the fulfillment of that or the direction of that is according to the teacher or the one who is guiding one in Krishna consciousness or the spiritual master or combination. Those are the principles that one should live one's life by, provided it's not an emergency situation. We know this from Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada explains there's three standards of activity: normal circumstance, emergency circumstance, and then preferred activity. So if you complete your prescribed duty and there's some discretionary time, there may be some preferred activity, and you do that preferred activity, and that's certainly permissible by these standards. And emergencies, you may abandon whatever your routine is and you attend to the emergency. The house is on fire. You attend to the emergency. In emergency situations, there's another set of rules. Other than the emergency situation, there's the regulative duties according to varna and ashram and so on. With the things, endeavors, process, and living place that are not forbidden for him. Make the references again according to the same topics as the previous verses. Who you are, what is suitable activity and paraphernalia generated from those activities. That which is not forbidden for you. So there's a range, and fit within that range. You can give some four examples. Like, for example, a householder should not take the position of a sannyasi and say, well, I can't do material activities, so I'm not going to get a job. I know somebody that's like that. And it's pretty difficult for the family. Pretty difficult for the family. It causes some tension, to say the least, in the family. So he took a little nudging for this individual to understand you have a wife, you have children, you have to have an occupation. And you engage in that occupation in Krishna consciousness. You do just like this is saying. And the upliftment, the transcendental dimension of those activities is that it's offered to Krishna. The reference in the purport is this Atak Pumbir Dvija Shrestha. The perfections, Hari Toshanam, Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam, is pleasing the personality of Godhead. So one may, according to guna and karma, take up some activity that's dealing with the material energy, and doing so with this Advaya conception that it's from the Supreme Person, so I can engage this energy in the activities for pleasing the Supreme Person. According to the translation of this verse, the highest perfection can be achieved by so doing. That was that pleasing the personality of Godhead. So it's the consciousness behind the activity. It's not the activity is condemned because it's dealing with the material energy. That's not a Bhagavat Advaya conception. Now Prabhupada gives this little, in the purport of the next verse, this little condition, provided the householder is a pure devotee and has no material desire. That's kind of interesting. No material desire, then why would one become a householder? But so then it's dovetailing or recognizing this can be purified and brought to the position of transcendence by offering to the personality of Godhead. Hari. Two other things. One of them is there's an emphasis in the conclusion of the purport, which is built into the verse of 67, which is householders can also achieve perfection. It's explicitly stated in the verse, it's explicitly stated in the purport, and it's something that Shankaracharya says doesn't happen. It's a challenge, or it's certainly a contradiction to Shankaracharya, because Shankaracharya teaches, and his followers also teach, unless you're in the renounced order of life, unless you renounce the world as false, you can't make any spiritual progress. Too bad. So, see you later. Those that are not sannyasis, sannyasis welcome. Everyone else forbidden. That's not Bhagavad Dharma. It's not the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not the teaching of Narada explicitly here. Just read translation to 67 again. O king, one should perform his occupational duties according to these instructions, here it is, as well as other instructions given in the Vedic literature. That was the phrase I was looking for. Given here and other instructions given in the Vedic literature, so that, you know, details and details of how prescribed duties are to be performed. These things should be done just to remain a devotee of Lord Krishna. Thus, even while at home, one will be able to reach the destination. Reach the destination is the same language as how Prabhupada has translated that Atak Bombir Dvijashrestha. Reach the ultimate destination. Highest perfection can be achieved by that method. And then the last is a little discussion or controversy or something. We're not afraid of controversy. We like controversy. It makes us more thoughtful. Varnashram. Along with this Atak Bombir Dvijashrestha, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion with Ramananda Roy, that Atak Bombir Dvijashrestha verse is also in the purport of the verse that Lord Chaitanya said is external, or one of the ones he said is external. Varnashram acharavata purushena parakpuman. Vishnur arajate panta nanyat tat toshakaranam. From Vishnu Purana, translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of varna and ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four varnas and ashrams. There's no other way, and one must, and Lord Chaitanya then says, this is external. You had better tell me of some other means. Oh, controversy. Ramananda replied, To offer the results of one's activities to Krishna is the easiest, is the essence of all perfection. Then the Yat Karoshi Yat Asnasi verse. I'm going to read a bit from the purport, you know, what, how Prabhupada helps us understand what does Lord Chaitanya mean by its external. Some of you know this very well, but it's good to hear it again. Naturally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Roy about the execution of devotional service. Ramananda Roy first enunciated the principle of Varnashram Dharma in consideration of materialistic people, which is the essence of what's being said here also. To get from the dualistic to the non-dual Bhagavad conception, there's this Varnashram system. But devotional service is transcendental. The system of Varnashram refers to the three modes of material nature. But transcendental devotional service is on the absolute platform. Next paragraph, Prabhupada describes chanting, descending directly from the spiritual world, Golokera Premadana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deemed the system of Varnashram Dharma to be material, although it aims at elevation to the spiritual platform. However, the Sankirtan movement can raise one immediately to the spiritual platform. Consequently, it is said that Varnashram Dharma is external, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Roy to proceed deeper into the matter and uncover the spiritual platform. One more paragraph. Sometimes materialists consider Lord Vishnu a material conception. And that's impersonalists. Materialists. Impersonalists are materialists. Impersonalists think that above Lord Vishnu is the impersonal Brahman. The impersonalists misunderstand the worship of Lord Vishnu. They worship Lord Vishnu to merge into his body in order that Vishnu Aradhanam not be misunderstood. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested that Ramananda Roy proceed further and clear up the issue. That's the go further. Because an impersonalist can have this verse from Vishnu Purana and say, yeah, this is a means to get to Brahman. And really it's Brahman. Vishnu is just Brahman covered, and you do this, you can get to Brahman that's not covered. So to clear up the issue, go further, go deeper. It's not a contradiction that Lord Chaitanya is saying, this is external, say more, go more deeply into the subject, when the verse is saying there isn't any other means. So if you have to have the right conception and the right consciousness of devotion in order for the pure devotional service where there is no material desire to be accomplished. Has to be proper spiritual sambandh again, proper spiritual conception of who are we, who is Vishnu or Krishna, what is that relationship, and what are all things in relation to him. And then in that consciousness, with that condition of purified heart, which in this age can come about, at least the potential is there to come about through chanting of the holy name, Cheta Darpana Marjanam, and then hearing from the scriptures and applying that message that we hear from the scripture in this mood of devotion under proper guidance. And that way external case someone has a wrong understanding of Vishnu and Vishnu Aradhana. Okay, let's see if there's some discussion on this topic. After people ask something, I'm going to call on you to say something. So just collect your thoughts. It's one of his topics he likes. Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned that the purpose of Varnashram is to lift people from the conception of duality to the proper Bhagavat conception of non-duality. So I suppose that those of us who are still in the bodily conception of life and we're still guilty of seeing duality, these things are for my enjoyment or for me to possess, we're still guilty of that consciousness. So despite our practicing Krishna consciousness perhaps for decades, we see that we are still in that state of bad consciousness, kind of putting all our eggs in one basket with devotional service. So I'm just wondering, when we read the Bhagavatam and we read things like this that we just read today, are we guilty of not implementing instructions in the Bhagavatam that could really help us? Like you mentioned different things like Brahmanas do Brahmanas jobs and Kshatriyas do Kshatriyas jobs and they don't overlap. But we see in our society, we definitely overlap. We have, sometimes we're wearing 3-4 hats, you know, or not just sticking to one compartment. Sometimes not even with the ashrams, we're sticking in a compartment nicely. So we're hearing that Varnashram is meant to elevate us, help elevate us to that proper Bhagavad conception of non-duality, yet we're still guilty of seeing with duality, but we're acting like persons who have transcended Varnashram. At least we can be accused that way. So how to read the Bhagavatam and understand what we're really supposed to take and what we're not really needing to take. Like earlier in this canto, we read that brahmachari should wear matted hair and deer skin and carry a water pot, and we certainly don't implement those things in our ISKCON society. So how do we know what to implement and how we know, well, I don't have to do this because I'm kind of like on a higher path?
The territory of your question is very clear. And it's not a new question. And a word that comes to mind is conundrum. There's a lack of clarity. Some persons don't think about it. Some persons think about it. And of those that think about it, it's like fireworks on the 4th of July. There's so many different ideas of persons that are very thoughtful and think about it. So I'm agreeing with all of what you said, but you know, how to move forward is there's a lack of clarity, in part because there's lack of consensus or you know, even where to begin. So I invited, a discussion on this topic from different speakers on exploring Varnashram for the purpose of seeking further clarity, not necessarily at the end of that little gathering. The light will go on, everyone's going to see the same thing and head in the same direction. At least, you know, enlightened discussion that can lead to a little more clarity, a little more consensus, at least a beginning of direction. That's what I'm hoping for. Kunti as one of the speakers. Jai Jagannath and then Subal.
I'm wondering about the people outside of Varnashram that we hear very little of in the Bhagavatam, except for the fact that they're outside of Varnashram. And I wonder, because I sense that the vast majority of persons in modern society would actually fall outside of Varnashram. They're the Malechas and Yavanas and all these other groups of people that we hear about in the Bhagavatam, who are eating cows, and there's no even a name for that in the Bhagavatam, a person eats a cow. And we don't hear about them and how they really fit into this whole scenario of Varnashram that we hear about in the Bhagavatam, because they're outside of it. So then I was getting the thought that, well, by bhakti, we can be purified of our Prarabdha karma. We hear about that from Nectar Devotion. And perhaps qualified to fit in a particular position within Varnashram. But then in there, it is mentioned that unless one attains a particular sort of elevation in bhakti, that sort of purification may not yet be there. So then for persons like a vast majority of persons who may be coming to our movement, who might technically fall outside of Varnashram, what is the instruction for them, really? These instructions don't seem so applicable or may not be fully relatable because of that conditioning that is outside of Varnashram.
Three things. Take prasadam. You know, freely we distribute prasadam to all kinds of people that are outside of Varnashram or in Varnashram. That's something that's for everybody. Another is exactly, your question is exactly the challenge that our acharyas have had before them. Let's say specifically our founder, ISKCON's founder, Acharya, that was his audience, persons outside of the Varnashram system. And we can look at what he did to answer your question, you know, rather than itemizing. He engaged people in Harinam Sankirtan, taking prasadam, and little philosophy. Little philosophy in the beginning. Basics. And of course, connected them to him. So by that sadhu sangha, along with the activities that sadhus do, elevation, sadhu sangha. And then different people responded in different ways depending upon their receptivity. Then, as you know from experience, and we all, those that have extended care to others, it starts getting complicated because people have this tangle of network of amazing things tying them to affinity for matter. And so many colorful varieties in Kali Yuga without any semblance of sanity. Look, it's, you know, guiding such a, how do you, what do you give to those persons? It depends on the circumstance and their sincerity and the receptivity for whatever it is that attracts them towards bhakti. We try to engage people accordingly. And specifically, nudge them towards the holy name. That if they don't like the holy name, they like prasadam, then take prasadam. Something. But nudge them toward the holy name. And in the hearing and chanting process, the Bhagavad Dharma process, according to their capacity and attraction. So, well.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. My question is in regard of the mention of how the whole social structure works quite harmoniously and in the ideal Vedic scheme of an ashram, and how, because it's a social structure, there is interactions.
Exactly.
And in interactions, dependency is that there is social, so everybody has an opinion, or more or less, you're a social figure and you're being scrutinized in one sense by the whole society. I mean, this is in all levels of society. And how to deal with the opinions that are there, scrutinizing your performance within society. We see even the example of the perfect society of Lord Ramachandra's kingdom. He was criticized by one of the citizens, and Lord Ramachandra went as far as banning Srimati Sita Devi to the forest pregnant with his own child. So that one is a very hardcore example. And,
it's a hardcore example, for sure.
But how do we deal with this? Everybody has an opinion. Everybody's scrutinized. You know?
Well, as just repeating something that was part of a discussion I had with Conte yesterday, education and training, and education and training beyond just imparting information, that's a part of education, but then structures for education and training that indicate some qualifying of instructors and certifying that qualification of instructors. You know, so it becomes then, like, you know, whatever, structured or systems, or, you know, say that ugly word that's institutionalized, but, you know, systems where we have there'll be different opinions about education. Not only different opinions about management, at least consensus on principle, and then different systems of education, but systems of education with systems for education. Just give an example, because it was part of what I learned from Boy John. Important, allowing diversity. Allowing different voices and different opinions while just adhering to principles. So that we need to agree on what principles are. But because I had taught for some years in the VIHE, I came to understand how VIHE does it. And VIHE was the creation of Purichand, who was an educator, deeply committed to education. So then some time passed and I saw him in Mayapur, and I spent some time and asked him, how's it going, what's up? I'm here to evaluate the Mayapur Institute for Higher Education. And I gave the heads up. I said, wow, the MIHE is really not at all like the VIHE. And his reply was, that's okay. Just like different administrators and leaders will do their administration, their leadership in a different way. That's okay, because we're all individual. What's important is that the principles are there. So my task is to evaluate, are the principles there in the MIHE? Not that it has to be a cookie cutter rendering of education and training. So diversity, where there's principles that uphold the unity, as is directly stated here, you know, the principles according to what is to be done and what's forbidden, according to Shastra, because that's what rules us all. Of course, there's different opinions of what Shastra says. Shastra says this, and I got my quotes. Well, I got my quotes, and Shastra says that. these other people get the wrong idea because, and, you know, Kali Yuga, Kali's influence causes dissension. So there must be persons in order for an organization, a group of a Sangha to continue, in order for ISKCON to continue, there must be persons that can rise above sectarian or my opinion perspective and see there can be multiple perspectives as provided principles are here too. And there's others that can also have opinion but they can rise above sectarianism and see, yes, these are the principles to be adhered to. Then we can have some structure and move forward. So having difference of opinions is natural and it's not unwholesome. It's good. Let us then try to understand together what are the principles that are essential and allow for diversity while we're looking up to the principles that are coming to us from Scripture. Some like it this way, some like it that way, and that's fine. It is Kali Yuga, and Kali is going to, you know, influence dissension, quarreling over trifles, Prabhupada says. But let us not be influenced by Kali, let us rise above Kali with the principle of quarrel and come to the Bhagavad Dharma principle of hearing and chanting together, understanding principles and respecting differences. Education and training. I'm going to, you can do a little wrap up somewhere along the way. I'm looking to you for your input at some point. Yes.
I'd like to share an observation and seek your, I guess, comment or input on it. Back to Jai Jagannath's question. When I look at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates or followers, there's a whole range of persons. Some who were within the Varnashram system, but by circumstance fell out of the Varnashram system, like Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. There were some who were way up there on the Varnashram, I guess, spectrum, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then there were some who were already outside the Varnashram system, and like Haridas Thakur, where he never did anything to bring him back into the fold of Varnashram. And then there are others who he gave specific instructions, you become a sannyasi, you become a householder, you become, etc. And so it's back to your point about chanting of the holy name as the foundational principle. In some cases, it was reestablishing them. In some cases, he didn't. But they all were, I guess, firmly encouraged to, and they did root themselves in devotional service, direct devotional service of chanting of the holy name. So that's just an observation or comment I'd like to share, I think.
You want me to say something about your comment?
Yes.
Hare Krishna. There's diversity. I was thinking of Ramchandra Puri. You know, he was way up there, but way down there. But the spectrum goes in all directions. A teacher or someone guiding others in Krishna consciousness needs to understand the individual, and based upon their understanding of Scripture and the individual and a little help from Super Soul, what's the best way to encourage this person and to engage the person on the path of bhakti that takes them to Krishna. That's a mighty task. Not an easy task, but an essential task for somebody to make the way to Krishna, because if it's not a obviously Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the examples you've demonstrated or you've spoken of, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated the capacity to do that with such love, such care. You know, in some cases he was super heavy, in some cases he was super lenient. For a variety of reasons, to instruct people, encourage people, bring people another step, caution those that would be casual and careless and so forth. That's Acharya. So for us, each of us to become Acharya-like requires strong adherence to the Acharya. And then there's some hope. And our founder Acharya is there for all of us. You know, and different persons have a different picture of how our founder Acharya would address himself to such and such, and we have different opinions about such and such. But fastidiousness, adherence to the transcendental position of an Acharya, the capacity of that exceptional personality that can guide others in an unattached, non-attached way. We need that in order to effectively manifest Varnashram, back to the topic. Kaunteya, do you like to say a few words here on this?
Yes, Maharaj, you know, I always like to say a few words on anything.
How much time do I have? Half an hour, I think.
I'd like to make 3 points. See, I'm walking sometime in Japa here, in the Rogers Parks, and I see that there are many supporters of Sanders. I see a lot of signs. Bernie for president and all that. Here in this area, I don't see any sign for Trump or Hillary for some reason. As an analogy, those who are interested in social issues, political issues, they get into the election saga. So in ISKCON, those who are interested in social, political issues, often they get into Varnashram, because we don't have a party system. So that's kind of the only channel for expressing one's kind of political views. And so that's our kind of the arena of our political dialogue is Varnashram. And naturally, it brings with itself various sentiments and emotions like that. So that's one point. The second point is that Varnashram, as everything, can be in the three modes of nature. You have Varnashrama conceptions in Sattvaguna, you have Varnashrama in Rajaguna, and Varnashrama in Tamaguna. So according to one's particular elevation or lenses or filters, they will have some conception of Varnashrama or another conception of Varnashrama. Guna-based. And the third and the last
two responses or thoughts. An observation is anybody that I've spoken to that has tried to implement a Gurukul somewhere meets this wave of opinions about what Gurukul should be. And it kind of torpedoes the Gurukul. Unless somebody's like Mother Irma, that's just like, she can stand bullets. You know, she just, she does it because people may like it, may not like it. She's going to do what she knows, and that's what she's going to offer. She believes in a certain approach, which during the time that she conducted Gurukul. So it's not easy to implement Gurukul. And then the second, and related, is the children, another challenge besides differences of opinion, according to perspectives on what child's education should look like. So many opinions. You know, there has to be, the adults set the standard by example what the children are going to be like. I mean, aside from other chisels, there's some over in the school. It's part of the problem of having a Gurukul, or having children to get together, because over there there's parents that have such and such standard, and over here there's parents that have a different standard. And one of the problems that I've heard from teachers is, like water seeks the lowest level, children also. And so without the standard of adults that are representative of a model for the children to grow up in, it's very frustrating for the teacher in the Gurukul to train their child in a standard that then they just associate with other children that have other parents and have other standards, and it just goes down. And then they lift it up, and then it goes down, lift it up, and goes, because water goes to the lowest level. And it keeps going down, doesn't it? Go up. Goes down. Ain't easy to have roots for the tree. Just a comment on, here's a Gurukul graduate, alumni, survivor, or whatever.
Two things came to mind. The first was when Jagannathpur was talking about those outside Varnashram, how to include them, how to get them involved. Is Varnashram, as Kuntepuru mentioned, it is actually started by a loving relationship between the guru and the disciple. If you look at what Srila Prabhupada did, it was because of a loving bond between Srila Prabhupada and his disciples.
Yes.
He was able to pull us up to the levels of civilized human beings and then give us devotional service.
Yeah, that's like the response I gave to Jai Jagannath.
It's that, yes, exactly. It's that love that does it. And in the Gurukul system, the famous verse of Brahmacharya Gurukul Eva Sandando Gurur Hitam, it is Suhrida, it is that loving bond between the guru and the disciple that makes everything work.
Yeah.
And the second quick point I wanted to make was that there's Gurukula and then there's Krishna conscious education. Varnashram, in my opinion, from what I understand, really does take root in the Gurukul, because that is where the possibility of that strong loving bond between the qualified guru and the disciple. Mm. 9 out of 10 children will partake of Krishna conscious education, absolutely. 1 out of 10 are, I wouldn't say suitable, but
1 out of 10 are?
What capable, suitable, should be in a Gurukul, fit the Gurukul, what a Gurukul model actually is. And that includes the parents. Not all parents can have their children in Gurukul. Gurukul is actually not for, I think that's where we went wrong, is we put everybody in Gurukula. There's Krishna conscious education, and then there is Gurukula.
See, there's different opinions about education.
Well, yes.
I'm not faulting your opinion. I'm just making a comment. There's different opinions about education.
Indeed.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying there's different opinions.
My only thing is that Varnashram, I believe, grows from the Gurukula aspect of education, whereas day school or other types of Krishna conscious education don't lend as much to the growth or the development of Varnashram in a society. My opinion.
Okay.
I'm not going to call on you, Karina. I'm going to end. So just a comment on your comment. Without naming some names, I'll mention a situation. You may know the person. A person and his brother became part of a gurukul that emphasized varnashram. And one of the brothers was told, you're a brahmana. The other was told, you're a shudra. So they engaged the shudra little boy in shudra activity, the brahmana boy in brahmana activity, and the one that's now an adult who is engaged in brahmana has really struggles hard with his regulative devotional practices because it just has this bad taste from being shoved brahminical stuff. When he doesn't like non-brahminical person, it was an ordeal. And his brother is like angry because he was told he's a shudra and he's not. So, and it's not that the person who was doing that didn't do so with all good intention, but you know, to have a teacher that can give loving exchange, loving dealings with the individual and bring them up, that's a very special qualification too. Very dedicated teacher, very committed teacher, very sincere, and harmed at least, you know, these two individuals in with all of his good intention. And that's not to say, you know, that it never happens with anybody else, that person's bad. I think, you know, in our experimenting in Krishna consciousness, we've all unintentionally, one way or another, stepped on people's toes or stepped on people's hearts. And I think we can all say, you know, give a long list of our experiences of that on the giving and the receiving end. Hey, it's difficult establishing Krishna consciousness and establishing varnashram as a safety net for those that are not ready for pure bhakti. It's not easy. So we have to be cautious and forgiving and sincere and keep trying and trying to understand, do the best we can. I'm going to end there. Srila Prabhupada ki.